Welcome to LifeWorks, where we talk about life and work and making it work. I'm Hannah Greenstein, a From mompreneur on a mission just like yours, to live the mompreneur life that brings me feelings of balance and inner peace and joy. Here, I hold space for you in the many roles you play as a From mommy business owner. Join me for support, mindset, techniques, and tools around productivity, focus, and work-life balance so you can feel in balance and at peace. If you can find excitement and joy at work and at home, you will thrive in the roles you play and feel fulfilled by your life's work. And that's what I want for you. So let's get started. Hello, ladies, and welcome back. If you have been wondering how you can grow your business, how you could free up more time, how you can strategically hire and grow your team, today's episode is for you. I had on Tammy Frank, a super insightful business coach who shared with us so many ideas and tips when it comes to scaling your business strategically. Tammy works with high-achieving entrepreneurs who want to develop, build, and grow their business in less time with less stress. She's worked with over 100 business owners over the past 15 years with their marketing strategy that focuses on serving their ideal clients. A trusted advisor and strategic partner to many female business owners who feel alone at the top, she focuses highly on ideal client, targeted messaging, clarity on your unique selling point, leads to sales process, marketing mix, business development, prioritizing, and mindset. She does not offer a cookie cutter course. She's not a system to retrofit into. She's not a group where you'll get lost in. She takes one-to-one customized action-oriented approach to level up your business. Enjoy today's episode and be sure to follow Tammy and connect with her further so you could continue to learn from all she has to offer. Hi, Tammy, and welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
It's an honor and pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me on.
I have so many questions that I'm excited to ask you, but before I do, can you give us your background? Tell us what your journey has been and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, sure. I'll give you the short version of it. I started off as a young girl out of seminary. Didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I'll start from there. But as a child, I always had dreams, of course, you know, of wanting to build a family, you know, and then I always had this little dream on the side that I wanted to have a business while I was running that. As young as I can remember, mm-hmm. I wanted to have like a little side hustle going along for myself that I found fulfilling for myself. Of course, okay, came out of seminary, didn't know what I wanted to do. I wanted to just open up a business. I was 19 years old. I was ambitious. My parents were very old fashioned, old school. No, you got to go to school. You got to get a degree. You got to do something real. And I wasn't a rebellious teenager and I wanted to make my parents happy, but in my heart, it was something really hard for me to do. I did not want to go to college. I did not want to learn something someone else had to teach me. I knew I had the guts and, you know how to figure it out for myself. I lost that battle. I didn't even know what I wanted to do with myself, but I just followed the crowd. And I couldn't decide on a major. And I think at the end of my junior year, I just followed all my friends who were going for speech therapy. Okay, let's just do what everyone's been doing, go through life. And it makes me a little bit emotional thinking back to that little teenage Tammy and what she went through. And I did it. I was always a good student. I got A's in everything, passed speech, went for my master's, did it all. I spent a few years as a speech therapist and definitely a great profession for the right person. But I had such a strong entrepreneurial fire in me that I couldn't stay stagnant in that area. And it wasn't my passion. And I took a year off. And so just to give me a little bit of a personal here, I had not found my Basharat at the time. I still wasn't married. So I kept saying, if I get married, then it's fine. I'll continue doing speech.
Right.
And, you know, life just has its way of playing itself out. We're not in control of everything as much as we dream and want and have expectations. And so I said, that's it. I got to take a year off. I was turning 30, which is a big year in the shit world, especially to turn 30 year old. And I said, I cannot keep living my life this way. I have to take a year off. I went to Israel for a year.
Wow.
And I said, that's it. I'm starting off from scratch. Nobody knows me. Whatever I did in the last 29 years of my life, I'm starting a fresh slate. And thank God I came back after a really good year of refreshing everything. I had a lot of speech offers on the table and I declined every single one of them. And speech is a very lucrative profession. It suits the lifestyle of a good From woman with the work-life balance, which is what I was setting myself up for as I got that degree. I came back and I didn't want to go to school again. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know what business I wanted to start, but I had such a strong business acumen. I just would read business journals and articles on the side for fun.
Wow.
So I ended up landing a job in a, yeah, it was kind of just, I couldn't stop it. And even as a child, I was always selling things and helping people and talking about business. Anyway, my fate turned into a marketing consultant where my first job after that year of a hiatus, it was literally starting a brand new career. I had a lot of knowledge, but no physical life experience, work experience. And I came back and I answered an ad. There was a marketing agency looking for somebody, a marketing assistant in Manhattan, in downtown Manhattan. And I owe it all to that first job I've gotten. It was over 10 years ago, probably about 13, 14 years ago. And I learned everything there is to know about business hands-on. I was a top assistant to top marketing executives. It was an event marketing agency. This is a little bit before digital became hot. And I learned everything. I was there for 4 years. It was like my MBA in business with practical sense.
Yeah.
And thank God. So after that, it just, my career escalated into a little bit more digital, more social. And then I started to have so much experience with dealing. I was more of like an account manager. I had so many different clients I was dealing with that I loved the variety of the different nuances of businesses. I was learning so much about business, what different businesses need. But what I kept seeing as I moved on to digital was that even though digital is digital, we have events, it's all the same thing at the end of the day, which fascinated me. It's all about your audience and what you can provide for your audience. It's not really always about the how. You know, the how could be a digital way. It could be an event way. Whatever the marketing to me is the how.
Right.
But there's no way you could market until you know. So that was great. I learned so. I had a digital marketing agency that I was employed by after that. And we learned I learned the technicalities of data analytics. And because when you're digitally driven, that's where the analytics come in. You know,
right.
How you've been performing. You could see all the data right in front of your eyes. Which is a very big, a lot of things I'm seeing now is a lot of entrepreneurs don't take advantage of that enough. So just fast forward a little bit more. And I ended up not wanting to work in Manhattan anymore. I live in Queens and it was before Corona and it was my own personal choice, whether I was married or not. I'm still looking, but whatever it is, a work-life balance, really everyone needs a work-life balance. We all have a life.
Yep.
Whatever that life is. And I realized before even COVID, I had to figure out my own business, my own strategy. I was never really necessarily dreaming of my own business. I wanted to help people grow their businesses. I just wanted to help people build their strategy. And it was working for a company. If it was working for myself, it didn't matter. But I did create my own life, starting off with working remotely and only taking clients that I could work for remotely, which lent itself to a lot of consultative stuff and some special projects that I do execute for clients. So that's my work-life balance journey.
So how do you describe what you do today? Because there are so many business coaches out there and each of them, I feel like business coach almost doesn't mean anything because it's too broad of a term. Like what specifically do you do for your clients?
That's a good question. So there's a quote in the marketing world. It's called the riches are in the niches.
Yeah.
Sure. You heard it right. So as a marketer, I always say, what is my niche and what do I answer people when they ask me that question? And really there are business coaches for nutrition, you know, for the nutrition field, there's business coaches for copywriters, there's business coaches for sects of business. And, I ask myself this question almost every single day, what is my niche? Because it's important to know for myself and for my clients. And I do have a lot of experience in all different types of market, types of sectors and industries. So I don't limit myself to industry. I know there are industries out there that I definitely have more of an affinity towards, female-driven industries, number one, and also very holistic helping industries. I work with a lot of holistic health coaches. I work with a lot of therapists. I work with a lot of people in that clientele. So if I want to niche into who I feel passionate towards, I'll start with the type of person that I help.
Right.
My niche, if you want to specifically say with marketing, I'll say two things, is working with people who are going to take action on the consults. I'm an action-oriented consultant. So whereas a lot of consultants will leave you hanging with a ton of strategy, my packages and my sessions are built on after the session, we have three things that need to be done before next session. And throughout the time in between, I work with my clients on guiding them. I'm also known as a little bit of a WhatsApp coach.
Yeah.
I'm very available in between the sessions. I'm very action oriented. I like to see the needle moving for my own sake as well. And so that is my first and foremost niche. It's a little bit of a collaborative. It gets done as we're working together.
Right.
Second niche I'll say is messaging. I'm not a copywriter, but it's really a little bit of a precursor to that, is helping business owners. And I work with people who have been in business for more than 5, 6 years, 10 years, who are making millions of dollars and come back to me because they realize they made as much as they can until now, but there's something missing in their connection between their messaging and how they're marketing to their clients.
Right.
So there's the disconnect. And I'm very frank, and my last name is Frank, but I'm very honest and frank and very straightforward with people who are making way more money than I am, but I want to see them move the needle. And the way to really move that needle is by really feeling what is the missing connection between you and your clients right now. We take a deep dive and an analysis into their ideal client, even deeper than they have already known. We look into analytics as well. We look into different content. We look into different products they're selling, whatever business they are. And we say, who is your ideal client? And what is the message that they need to hear? So that is where my niche really begins at.
Right. I think that especially for women in business, most women go into business because of something they're passionate about or something they enjoy doing that kind of mushrooms into a business, as opposed to, I'm such an amazing businesswoman, let me start out in business. So what do you find is like the number one gap between that passionate go-getter becoming a businesswoman? Like, what is that number one place that that your clients typically need to focus on honing so that they could really grow their businesses?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'll say that the funniest clients that I work with are those that started a business by accident.
Right.
And then they come to me like 3, 4 years later. Oh my gosh, I realize I actually have something here. They reached like over 100K without even realizing it. And they really realize the potential. So that's really how a business should start organically. That's how I had no interest in starting a business. And then suddenly people started asking me for advice. And right. I started doing it for free. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm getting drained from doing this for free. And people are taking up my time. So I started to charge and raise the price. And as I got to where I am, so it's beautiful to see those people. I'm in awe and I see it a little, with my Zen, however it happens. So I don't believe people should push it. It just won't happen if you don't have the passion and the spark of a business idea that you have a calling for. The best business to start organically. Another client of mine, I just finished working with her. She had a daughter with eczema and she was a teacher. And she was so frustrated with all the drugs that the doctors were putting this child on. And one day she just started to do her own research on holistically curing eczema. And she cured her daughter after a year. And she said, oh my gosh, I have to help the world this and cure that. And she came to me because she started realizing she's got to start charging. And she had her first paying client and she didn't know how to move on from there. And so the best way is when you have the inspiration, you realize you have something working. And then you say, help, I need a business coach or I need a marketing consultant to just help me realize now how to make it into a business. So that she would text me over I have 3 month programs that I work with people. And within the 3 months, I was getting a text from her literally every other day. Oh my gosh, another client. Oh my gosh, another client. And sometimes a text would be like, what do I charge again? Can you send me the screenshot of the pricing we came up with and the packages? Cause somebody's just asked me and I don't know what to say. I quickly send it over to her. So it's amazing. So I really believe you need to really has to come from someplace organically or else you're just going to sit there spinning your wheels all day long with a list of business ideas and never amount to anything. So we're still waiting for that. Just have some patience. It's not a race. Just wait.
Yeah. Fantastic. What would you say? I'm sure that there isn't really one size fits all answer, but what's typically the number one thing that a business needs to move it ahead? Once someone has started a business out of passions, the passion is there. And the fact that there's a need in the market and that they're providing a real solution is there. how do they take this to the next level?
That's such a good question. I get this question all the time, and there are two paths somebody could decide to take. It really depends on the entrepreneur herself. You want a lifestyle business where, you know, you have enough focus on your life and you still want to have a business and it's a passion. Do you want to have people under you? Because the way to do it is really to hire people.
Right.
So there's a choice. You can either do it all yourself and you won't really have such a work-life balance, or you'll have to limit your business and cap it at a certain income, right, where the sky is not the limit because there's only amount the person could do. And you make this choice, or you hire out and you could scale more the more obviously you hire out. And of course, hiring the right people is a big thing. I help people and consult with who you're going to hire and what exactly they're going to do. You need clarity on that before you hire anybody. There is so much that goes on wasting time and wasting money without having the right person to hire. So it's really the choice of the business owner to keep that work-life balance. You have to have realistic expectations for if you keep doing it all on your own, you won't have probably a life, or you won't be able to scale. So it's a choice. It's a choice of what kind of business and why you want your business to keep running.
Right.
So simple answer to that.
Yeah. I love talking about scaling and scaling strategically, because that's scaling strategically is what enables women to make, you know, increase their income exponentially year over year without decreasing their work-life balance. And so I would love to talk with you about hiring, because you mentioned it. And I have a whole bunch of questions for you that came actually from my membership group, my LifeWorks Empowered members, that have a whole bunch of questions on hiring, because I think this applies to many female entrepreneurs. They're running creative businesses. So in some ways, it's much harder to hire when people are coming to you for your talent, and what you're selling is essentially yourself. And so you can't really scale yourself. And so that's when scaling and hiring feels a little less intuitive. So I have a whole bunch of questions for you. What would you say? Let's start with the basics. How do you know when you're ready to hire?
So, you know, you can hire when you're not ready. When you're ready to hire is when you're over, meaning monetarily. And the question is if it's monetarily hot ready or not. Some people wait till they have enough money to subsidize, and some people wait till they psychologically need to hire. The best way to get started is to just feel like, can you give over the reins to somebody else? It's actually a very big mindset thing. Like, do you have so much control? Are you such a control freak, for example, that you can't even let someone else do something so small? Can you let someone else fold your laundry for you? You know, like, even just, and that's a way of how you, if you have cleaning help or something, a babysitter, you already experienced letting someone else do something that you feel like it should be your job. So it's really getting, the biggest, you know, challenge for most women entrepreneurs that I work with to let go. It's like their baby, what their business, whatever it is. But can you even get somebody to handle your calendar for you, or pick the most minute thing to get somebody to be able to handle for you? Whether you're recording podcasts and you had somebody else edit it for you, it's never going to be the way you want it to be to start, but that's how you roll with it. Start with the smallest. Are you giving over your whole business to somebody tomorrow? Are you giving over all your graphic work to somebody tomorrow? Absolutely not. But can you even let someone else do you one thing for pay or not for pay? It's almost like feel yourself out throughout the day, right, whether it's a hired help or something. How much can you surrender a responsibility to someone else? It's a very good thing to let someone else take over some part of your life that you've been handling until now. Very big.
Yeah.
If you can let that flow, then you're good. If you're ready that type, then you're ready to hire. But the stress of hiring somebody could almost overcome the need for somebody to hire. The best people I work with, obviously there's a lot of mindset to go with that hire. And I work with my clients after the hire is already hired with what issues they're having and challenges. And even if you hire the wrong person, there's always something to learn. You don't want to waste any more money on keeping that person for too much longer. Maybe give them a nice exit out, but to document what did not work so that you know for the next hire. So sometimes making a wrong hire is actually good for you. If you don't hit the right hire from the beginning, the one wrong hire will teach you lessons that you could never learn from anything. So that's how it works so far.
Right. Would you say that there are any specific numbers to look at when you're deciding about bringing someone on board? Or is it about once you're ready, and if you have work that you could give to someone that you feel comfortable giving over to someone, then it means that there is work that is probably not the highest level work, right? It's not necessarily the work that's bringing in the money, and it's not the work that's your zone of genius that you're busy with. So it's worth just giving that over and then figuring it out, freeing up your time. Now you have the time to figure out how to make more money, as opposed to sitting with spreadsheets before you hire to figure out exactly how you're going to cover salaries and use the new time and spending too much time figuring that out.
It's definitely a little bit of both. You don't want to be haphazard with your finances. I find that, again, a very big common theme with female, especially from female entrepreneurs. It's very sad. If anyone needs help with this, I'm happy to help you, but I'm not a financial analyst, but there are some basic numbers that you really need to keep your pulse on in your business. And we're a little too, you shouldn't, let that happen to where you're having a money pit here. So yeah, take a look at your finances and make sure that you will see an ROI on your hire, but that doesn't have to be direct. It could be giving you the opportunity to grow your business in other ways.
Right.
So if you're hiring someone that could take time, precious time from your time, and you could make that calculation, for example, if I hire somebody for 10 hours a week, what are you going to do with those 10 hours that are going to bring you money?
Yeah.
So definitely make that calculation at the minimum, as much money or as little money as you have to spend. You've got to look at the hour ratio of what they're going to help you do and scale, whether for now or for 6 months from now. It doesn't have to be immediate. Your stuff is going to take you time to scale as well, but give it a plan. And the big thing is to also tell your assistant, and for you as well, whoever you're hiring, that it's give it a trial phase. You're not hiring a permanent worker right now. Say, let's start a project together. Let's do 3 months together. Give it a try, and give yourself benchmarks for yourself for what you expect. And it actually gives you your own internal accountability, which is kind of good because a lot of us need that. So you hired somebody and then it gives you that, investment in yourself, but it's no different than another investment that you put into yourself, hiring somebody, whether you're getting manicures or massages or whether you hire a business coach. You're using money to invest in yourself to grow your business. So look at it that way, as an investment in, yourself, because ultimately an investment in your business is an investment in yourself. As a person, so growing that is that expense as well. So.
Fantastic. Do you have a preference when it comes to hiring someone remote versus bringing someone in-house?
Wow, you're asking all the hot topics. Well, it depends. You said remote versus in-house. You mean in-house physically or in-house as opposed to, physically? It's a very good question. I'm a very big fan of remote work. Just my way of, I think that does lead to more work-life balance for everybody. Yeah. So I physically would never hire a physical worker. I do all my outsourcing is remote. If you have good project management systems in place, and if you have a good communication, then there's no reason why you need someone. Of course, if you're owning a store and need someone to fold the, clothing or whatever, that's a different story. But for stuff that can be done remotely, I think that just is a testament to the work ethic of the people you're going to hire. Yeah. You shouldn't have to have this person sitting in your office in order for them to do a good job.
Yeah. It also widens your pool of prospects.
Yeah. So I know that the people I work with, a lot of times the female entrepreneurs I work with for themselves, they say, I want someone here because it's when I'm here and we're on at the same time. And I need them here because it gets me to do my work, but that's on you. You're making a choice. If you need someone with you, that's your need, but it doesn't necessarily change the fact they're going to hire somebody quality or not.
Right. Okay. The next questions are a little more detailed. From Minky from LifeWorks Empowered, she wants to know, her business is often seasonal. So she'll have times where she has too much work and then times when things are much quieter. So she would love to hire someone for the busy times, but the reason that hiring someone like temporarily or bringing someone on a per project basis doesn't appeal to her is because she really feels like she needs a strong training in period for, to bring that person into her company and her style. She does design. So her clients are coming for something very specific. And so a full-time employee makes more sense in that aspect, but what does she do with them when the business is quieter?
So does she just not have work for them, or is she just doesn't have work for them, or she doesn't have the budget for them during those quieter times? It depends on the answer to that. Because there's a, you know, if she doesn't have the work for them then at all, then that's really a waste of, you know, there must be, right. There's, if that's a hard, it does she really not have work for them during those downtimes? I mean, there's always stuff to do for a business. There's always right. something to do. Maybe it's not exactly what they were doing the months that she was busy, but there's always something to do to prepare for the busy season. It's like accountants, you know, they might be busier during busy season, but more throughout the rest of the year. If she doesn't have the budget, that's a different question. But the answer to that is she should be upfront with them on what the year looks like and know right. the patterns of her business and have different roles for people at different times of the year.
Right. I also think that during those quiet times could be the perfect times to use your employees' hours to scale your business. And then whether that means you fall out of this like quiet, busy season, you know, pattern, or if that's a pattern in your line of work, maybe it just means your busy seasons are that much busier that you have a team running them and you don't even need to show up to the office.
So I really appreciate that as well.
Thank you.
Right, right, for sure. So definitely those quiet times is so much, they're the best just to have quiet times, because then you could look and say what worked last season and what didn't work. It's time, you know, I have a lot of clients that run events and you as events, they're busy and then they're not busy. Right. What to take time to reassess what happened at that event that we could do better next time. What could we improve? What didn't work? What worked? How can we set up the process to be seamless next time? What new things could we introduce? That's the nature of business. It's always improving and making things better. Look at Nike. They come up with a new sneaker like every season. There's 20 new types of models. And it's just like the nature of a growing business is constantly revamping your, even a typical grocery store, and they're selling milk, but next year they'll sell this type. Next year, there's so much more products to put on the shelf. So if you're a growing business, there's so much to do in those times. And if you're not busy in those times, and you try to think, why am I not busy at these times? What am right. I not doing? So looking at the patterns is really important to see at that time. So.
Right. And I have a question for you from Tsipora, a specific question, but I'm going to ask you the umbrella question, which is, how does a creative business, when they are selling their specific talents, scale? Like she wanted to know, what do you do when you have an employee and a client specifically requests that you work on the project? So we're talking, a lot of the people in my group are designers, copywriters, and that's like, it's almost proprietary. So how do you look at that?
It's a great question. I'm actually working right now with a client who's an accountant, and the best at, you know, but there's also a lot of junior accountants, bookkeepers, and everybody wants to work with this accountant. So the first thing is you can't, there's no, in a creative business, there's no such thing as set it and forget it. Like,
right.
You know, there's people who run a lot of businesses out there that you, there's no business that's really set it and forget it. But especially with a creative business, there's no such thing. So putting it out there, the realistic expectations of that you are going to constantly have to be involved in your business. So, which is a beautiful thing. And I'm sure that's what creatives really want.
Right.
That's their type and they want their creative stamp. So realizing that, yes, you will be constantly involved in your business, but you don't have time for everything. Seems like more of a time thing is, first of all, your clients to communicate with your clients very often that you have a team. And the question is, are you looking for somebody to be as good as you or with your creativity? You're looking for people could be good, very good. No one's you. Are you hiring people that could, you know, how close can they be to replicating your work? Or, you know, it's also with your hire. If you're hiring specifically for creative work, you know, because there's tons of work that can be done behind the scenes that's not specifically creative. You right. could set it up that you do all the creative and that everybody else just supports your work. That's one way of doing it. So it's, you know, you're in charge with this. Everyone does all the small tasks that you can give off, but you take the time and work with somebody to really sit down and make that list of things. Like, this is what only I can do, and literally someone else can do this, someone else can do that. I joke, and it doesn't sound so funny, but like only you can go to the bathroom for yourself. Like, start from there. It's a little bit like really think in your business. What is something that only you can do and you can never give somebody else to do? And everything else, you probably can give somebody, like someone else can buy that. Someone else could do that. Someone else could turn it on, but you just have to, it's like thinking, I'll give a better analogy than that one if you want to scratch it from the video. But like, you know, you think of an actress, right? She gets on stage and everything is, I've had a lot of clients in the entertainment business. So I and even a video production, she gets up there, her makeup's already, someone applied her makeup for her. Somebody put her hair together. Somebody already picked out her wardrobe. Somebody wrote her lines. She's the actress. So she's the one who's getting paid the most. She gets paid more than the hairdresser. She gets paid more than the makeup artist. She gets paid more than everybody in the room. It's hers. She or people are paying for her, but the stage is completely set for her to do what she needs to do for her audience. So picture yourself as that actress. You're showing up. What needs to be done for me to have the stage completely set that I can work my brilliance? That is the ultimate way to execute. There are other ways that's ideal in an ideal world to set up your business that you are you're in the spotlight and everything is set up for you to walk right in there with grace and do her work the way, especially creative entrepreneurs. That's my first answer. If there's any more questions on that, I would say I have another trick I can give you, yeah. But you know, it's a very internal trick. It's a marketing, like a lot of marketing is a little bit of marketing is manipulation a little bit in a way for your employees and for your, you know, clients to really see that they need you. If you feel really 100% confident in your employees, if you are a creative director, if you are the owner of the creative agency that you're running, but you really have confidence, let's say Sarah, she is fantastic. Like psychologically, your clients want you, but Sarah, you know, honestly, that she does amazing work. You can internally brand her to be a star, just like you. Mm. She's a best supporting actress. Maybe she's not the actress. Maybe she's not you, but she is the best supporting actress here. And in her email signature or on your website where you feature your team, the way you brand your company internally and the way you use the words, what you could be called, she could be called a brand, you know, lead brand, whatever. Oh, she's actually good, Sarah.
Right.
I could use... maybe Malky's the owner of the company, but Sarah's just as good. So you have to groom your people to be that you really stand behind them, obviously. But if you can internally create that marketing messaging to the outside world, then that's really another big key to having your clients have confidence in your employees right. as well, building that confidence. So that was our second tip on that. Third exactly. tip is you raise your prices on your own private consult, but I don't like to give that one right away because you're trying to scale. But yeah.
I was going to ask, what other creative ways are there to scale besides for scaling your team?
Well, the biggest thing is processes, because obviously you scale when you have more time. Time yep. is the biggest, you know, time is more important to me than anything else. So scaling your time, really, there's a lot out there. I actually work with a fantastic person on my team who's a automator, and she knows how to automate things you would never know could even be automated within your processes. So saving time by having crystal clear processes and like tuning up your bit. That's whoever the person asked the question before of what do I do in those downtimes? Automating, creating crystal clear processes that don't waste time. Learning from what happens, what's going on now, which is why people hire me as well. People have a little bit of a negative view towards consultants. Oh, they tell me what to do and then they fall off the planet. But you can't always see. I build processes with people as well, whether it's a marketing process. We look and see what has been working and what's not and how can we make this process more succinct. So yeah, it's really implementation and specializing and getting the processes moving seamlessly. That's it. There's always a process, and there's always a process that someone's missing out on that you, so right. year after year, or maybe every 6 months, you should take an inventory and say, wait, let me see, what can I do faster, more efficiently than the way it's going?
Yeah. I love that because I think it really It all boils down to the same thing. Like you said, it's time. So whether it's an employee freeing up your time, or it's a smoother process freeing up your time, or it's technology that's automated freeing up your time, the more time you have to do the work that's bringing in the money, the faster your business will grow and scale.
100%. And I would say hiring an automation specialist when you just take an assessment over your business and go through the processes with you would be a really big and good investment as well in saving that time and making more money in the time that you need.
I would love to hear, what is your soapbox? What should all business owners know?
Oh, okay. I could be preaching to the choir. I could be saying something everybody knows, but I think this is something that everyone still needs to hear. And it gets me a little bit emotional because, again, why I feel the plight of female entrepreneurs and especially moms out there, even though I'm not a mom, I feel for them because I work with you guys. I work with so many mothers who are so, they don't know what to do first. They of course their kids are priority, their husbands are priority, and their business is so important to them. And I really, my heart goes out to them. They have a business, they have clients banging down their doors, they're scaling, they're doing great, they have great business ideas, they have great businesses already. And the saddest part, and it's again, it's, I tell this to myself too, because even with, you know, life is so overwhelming in general.
Yeah.
And it's okay, it's really okay to take a break, like from life, from your family, from your business, to take a break and really be a little selfish, not just go get a manicure. Yeah, that's a way. Not just, you know, literally pause in the middle of your day, pause in the middle of your baby crying, pause in the middle of your company, something needing you, and really letting go and re-anchoring yourself in the moment of overwhelm. Really keeping a pulse on your overwhelm. So that you don't get to a point where it's too overwhelming and then it leads to burnout and then you just feel bad about yourself and it's a vicious cycle. And then, you know, your work is affected by your personal life. You know, your business does better when you're doing better personally. And it's just so important to take care of yourself. That's my biggest thing to say is like, as much as I'm a business person, I'm all about the money. I'm all about growing your business and the marketing. It's really, I'm so into that. Like, and it sounds superficial, but I just love when people make more money. It's just such a passion for me.
Yeah.
But not at the expense of your mental health and your emotional well-being. Nothing is important as much as that. So as much as I push my clients to the limit and I push them on their actions and I want to see them implement what we put into place, they say something to me, okay, oh my gosh, I'm like, hey, that is more important. Pause, you know,
right.
Take 5 minutes in the morning to yourself and for everybody. That's my biggest thing. Like really so important to be happy and take your pulse every once in a while on giving yourself time to unwind and maybe even start a morning ritual where you really have a long time.
Yeah.
Not just davening, not just this, that, but really to yourself where no one else could feed you except, you know, they say you can't pour from an empty cup, really making sure to be checked in with yourself. It's my number one hidden agenda when I work with people.
I love that. Yeah, it's what I'm all about. Because like you said, the money's not worth it if it comes at the expense of your mental health. And also if you're sacrificing your mental health for money, eventually you're not going to have the mental capacity to continue to grow the business. Like even from the perspective of wanting to make more money, you have to take care of yourself. If you're the one that's making the money, you have to be on your game.
Yeah. It helps you in every way. I mean, it even helps you have more clarity and your vision and gives and inspires you for better ideas and new ideas. So it's to make the best business decisions. You know, you're constantly making decisions in life and all together, and best decisions don't come from anxiety and from fear and overwhelm. You know, they come when you just, sometimes, you know, people say this question a lot, like, when do you feel you're most inspired? I mean, for me, I get the best ideas when I'm taking a hot shower or like finally lying down in bed at night. Why? Because I'm so rested and I feel so good and I'm so underwhelmed. That's when you get inspired. So it's the creating the moments where you feel that you have that, recreating them and tapping into them throughout the day.
Yeah.
it's, yeah, it's a healthy thing. I have a client, she was so overwhelmed during Purim, now we just passing the holiday, and she does something that's related. Her peak is Purim, peak Purim. And at one point I said, can you just take a nap for like 50, just stop. As busy as it is, just stop, you know, pause. I don't say stop, right. I say pause. It'll work out. So bitachon, you know, getting all that stuff as well, just having the faith. But it's a daily process. It's a daily thing. I don't think it's like, oh, I had a good week, anything, whether you're exercising or anything in life. Even if you had a good week, why did you have a good week? It's because you worked on that. So don't let it go just because you had a good week. Don't stop exercising just because you lost the pound, you know. Keep exercising, keep it off, whatever. So it's so hard. We're so, especially business owners, you know, we're so driven. Every minute, calculate those 5, 10, 20 minutes in the day of being, you know, helping you grow your business or whatever it takes you to motivate you to do that.
Yeah. It's so powerful. It's like, yeah, I mean, if you're at the crux of everything, it's just so important. I see I missed a question, Tammy. I'm going to circle back to bringing on employees. What's your best tips for training in employees when it comes to pointing out where they need to improve? Because that's going to happen, right? They're new to the job. How can you balance that with being this like sweet female entrepreneur who just wants to tell everyone that they're amazing and make them feel good about themselves?
Wow, that is such a real question. It happens all the time. I just had it actually twice with two clients in the last month. So better than asking them that, better than telling them they're going to be fired, because that was one of my clients' problems. It was already at the point where we worked out all the ways the person could improve, and it just turned out that it was a few extra tries and it didn't work out.
Right.
Because I think we are very patient. We are very patient. So sometimes you keep someone on a little too long. But again, like I said before, it's a big learning lesson. Again, the more you keep on the wrong person, you learn what not to do again when you hire the next person. So, okay, just as long as you're keeping them, keep a tally of everything that you're not liking. And then the next person has to have that, what you can't handle that this person doesn't have. So at least you're getting educated on it. But when it starts to drain the finances, then you say, okay, enough from the education. So first of all, I don't like to put the blame on us, but we get the blame to start. You know, we have to first look at ourselves, how we are as a manager and as a business owner. It starts with you. So first of all, did you give clear expectations? Did you give clear, you know, don't hire anybody unless you clearly know what you need from them. Of course, the role could expand. You might add on more, but you need to have clarity on what you want them to do. Like, exactly why are you hiring this person? Not just a job description, but know what they need to do. If you're going to hand over a process, you need to know that process. You can't hand over something that they don't, you know. You have to put yourself a little bit in the employee's shoes that you're hiring. They don't know anything about your business yet. They might be a great person to work for you, but they can't read your mind. So you need to have a very clear communication with whoever you're hiring of what the process is. And you need to have clarity on that. Be honest with yourself that you need the clarity. If you don't have clarity on that, you need to sit with yourself or sit with somebody, not with your employee yet, to really hash out that list of expectations and then hire. But if it's already too late and you hired, because before you hire, you need to have 100% clarity. Like I said before, put that list down. What can you do that you need to do this and no one else can do it, but what can you give and communicate it, but also the processes on how you want those things executed. That's a lot of work. And a lot of work that goes into hiring somebody, hiring just someone, and then making it up as you go along. Like, that's our type of personalities. We have a lot of them from world. Like, we want to just wing it. We're Hamish like that, if you want to say, you know, okay, I'm just going to hire you and I'll let you know as I go along. If you want to reduce your stress and you want to really run it like a real business, then you need to set up the stage for them to do their job and have clarity. Not just like throw it off, like, you know, coming in, coming out, just do this, just do that. Okay. Even if you have like a, you know, household help, they know they have to do the laundry. They have to do this. If one day you want them to do a new task, you tell them, but they already know the rhythm of what you want working. So let's take the analogy of a housekeeper. She's been working for you for the last 5 years and she knows exactly what she needs to do every day. It's running really well. That's fine. But you need to tell her something. It's always a little awkward. Oh, you know, Sally, today, it's a little bit different. You know, there, of course, there's tact with how they should do something different, but like keeping the expectations in check and getting them used to, of course, you have to have tact. It's how you say it also, not what you say. Right. Let's go back to the business analogy. It's constantly meeting with your clients as well, with your nine clients, or your employees, whoever's working for you. I think that's also what's missing. I see that the minute a meeting is instituted, it doesn't have to be long, whether it's 15 minutes a week. Like literally you can get so much done in 15 minutes. I have that now with a client. I do implementation with them. We just have a 15-minute continuous check-in on the calendar. Eventually it might end up being every other week, but when you're starting off with somebody, you need to train, you need to be very hands-on. So even though eventually in the long run, it'll take away a lot of stuff from you as a business owner, there is an upfront investment in time that you need to give over the processes, how you want them done. It could take a month, it could take 2 months, but having regular, I would say the answer to the question is regular scheduled meetings to speak about the week before, what worked, what didn't work. Because always start with what worked. Obviously, this positive reinforcement. If you like them, then you can't look at them only with a critical eye. You know, we like to do that. We're paying them. It's our business. It's our baby. But you still have to see, like, what good did they do for me last week? So for your sake, for their sake, for everyone's confidence, to start off with what's working, what's not working. You could even ask them to come for an agenda with an agenda for them, what's not working.
Right.
They're going to have stuff that's not working for them as well. They'll have stuff you gave them to do they didn't understand, that they don't like doing or whatever. You want to keep them very happy. You want them to feel happy to work with you, for you. So keeping them happy is important for both of your growth, for your growth as well. So I would say number one practical step is to have a week. We'll have the processes set up, have the expectations set up, and have a weekly meeting with any new hire. If you want to keep it going for old hires, of course, you could shorten it, but they need to hear what's working and what's not working and need to know very clearly to set the stage as in a business owner that you have allow them full transparency. They should not be intimidated by you. You should let them feel open communication with you as well. Communication is the key to every relationship. We know that through across life. And if you want to have a good business, you need to have happy people working for you and feel like you let them express themselves. So keeping that communication is the number one way to get that is through meetings and what's working, what's not working.
Right. I actually just brought on a team member. So this whole conversation has been so helpful and so spot on for me personally. And I love that three things you said, having the scheduled check-ins makes it so much more natural to both give and receive the feedback. It's so much more comfortable when you know that that's what we're here to talk about. So I don't have to like find the time that's right to tell her that she did something I didn't like. It's like, this is what we do and that it's mutual, that I'm inviting her to share her feedback on how things are going for her. So it's not about me critiquing her. It's about us working as a team to make sure everything's working for each other. And the more clear you are with your expectations up front, the less room there is for them to disappoint you because they're winging it less and they're following your instructions more. So I think so much gold there.
Yeah, I want to add that it's very hard to view your employee as, you know, you're like, oh, you work for me. You know, that generation of boss employee is really gone. People really now want to feel appreciated.
Yeah.
And so sometimes even more than the paycheck, they want to feel appreciated by you and positive reinforcement. This is the generation. Anyone you're going to hire right now, even if they're older, they need to feel that they're doing a good job and they're appreciated. That will go a longer way than the dollars you're spending on them. And just to realize that they're human. So yeah, it's not like, right. Oh, I paid you to do this for me. Like we need to really keep into account that they work for you and you kind of have to have some appreciation at the same time. So, you know, you see your teachers, you say, you know, you give them a Hanukkah gift or you appreciate them and they're getting paid to teach your children. So you kind of have to have some recognition for them as much as you can stick it in there. You don't have to constantly, oh, you did such a good job. Like they're not too, but every once in a while, just when you feel like on your end too, that you're lacking appreciation, show appreciation.
Fantastic. Okay. So much goodness. Yeah. Tammy, we're going to wrap up. I want to ask you, our listeners are all business owners. They are all looking to scale. They all want to make more and create more impact without having to overwhelm themselves and burn themselves out. What challenge do you have for them? What actionable takeaway do you want them to take from this episode? And what do you challenge them to do right now?
Really good question. You might add, it's actionable in a personal way or in a business way?
It's up to you.
Whatever I want. Okay, so I said my piece before on the giving yourself time during the day. So I don't want to take that as my opportunity here, but I really want to enforce that. I would say, talked about the employee, that's another one, but I'll say as a marketer, I'll give you the, as a marketing tip for your business, I would say whenever you're creating any marketing content, whenever you are really going to come up with some type of strategy to scale your business, don't lose focus on your audience and what they need. Don't just make sure you have 100% clarity on your why. Why am I putting out, you know, I have companies come to me all the time, like I'm putting an ad in the Omni for, you know, for Pesach. Why? Why are you putting it in the Omni? Like, just don't do it because it's cool. Right. Why? Why is this ad? It's a lot of money. It's a lot of time, but why? So even if it sounds like a cool thing to do, why are you posting on social media? Why are you putting up this post? And get a little deeper with yourself on why, because the disconnect, the superficiality out there, it's not the way business even runs anymore. It's the world is heart-centered now. I don't care if you're selling baby blankets. I don't care if you're selling insurance. It's the connecting to your audience and really asking yourself, is this just another piece of content that I'm throwing up there? Another piece of noise, another distraction that I'm just trying to get people's attention with? Or is this actually going to help somebody out there? You're going to get money in the end if you really come from a heart-centered way. Like the money will come, but you authentically want to help somebody with this piece of content, or are you just throwing out a piece of content because you just want to make, you know, be out there and get attention? So I really want to encourage everybody to take their marketing to the next level and really, really be out there to help people authentically and be authentic to yourself and really ask yourself why. Why am I posting this? Just because I have to post something today? Don't post it. If I tell my clients all the time, be religious with your posting, be consistent with your posting. You need to keep your audience engaged, blah, blah, blah. But really quality, up the quality of your posts, up the quality of your email, up the quality. Don't just send it out because keep the copy, keep the creative, keep the content really valuable. I really want to put that out there. Fantastic. Very noisy world out there we have these days. And we just want to keep the value on top. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. And if listeners want to connect with you further, learn more from you, where can they find you?
They can go to tammyfrank.com. It's the fastest way. My email's up there, contact information. I'm on LinkedIn. That's where I have most of my social media output. Not so big on Instagram. And you can email me, tammy@tammyfrank.com directly. That's really probably the fastest way to get in touch with me. But check out my website, check out what I do. Anything resonates. Yep.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Tammy. I really appreciate all the insight. Just so many golden takeaways.
Pleasure. Really, you asked amazing questions. So I'm so happy that you asked the right questions. It really got me to talk about the things that I'm really passionate about. So I really appreciate that as well.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. As always, head to lifeworkspodcast.com because that's where the party's at. Drop a comment, #ILifeWorked, on this episode to let our community know that you took the challenge and encourage others to do the same. If you want to hear more about what I do for mompreneurs and how we can work together, reach out, Hannah@lifeworkspodcast.com. Wishing you a day of work and life that work to bring you tremendous fulfillment and joy. Till next time, I'll see you here. And again, thanks for being a part of our incredible community.